This morning, all the way from the huge metropolis of Duncan, Oklahoma. And y'all know how I feel about my dad. Y'all probably get tired of hearing me tell stories about him. And I appreciate and love him. And I've asked him to come speak to the group this morning. Come on, Dad. His name's Dan Crawford, by the way.
Oh, well, they got this other thing on. You know, it's a privilege to be here, and it sure looks good out there. It's been a while since I've been here. I just can't hardly get myself off the farm now that I've been able to move up there for 3 years. I kind of like my dad. I found out I'm just like my dad. I like the farm. I like the animals. I like messing around on the farm. I don't want to leave. And so I always find stuff to do. And my job allows me to do that. God's really blessed me. And the thing about Eric, you'll find out, even as a child, he was the only child out of the three I had. He's the only child that would come to me and say, "Dad, I done this," knowing that he was going to get a whooping, you know. And so I guess he just didn't want to live with the fear that I'd find out sooner or later and it'd be worse. Yeah. Amen. Amen. Because it usually was. If I found out later, it was worse. If you will, turn to Psalms chapter 50, please, where the subject is stewardship. And hopefully I can, the Lord will work through me and give you a blessing today. I want to be able to relate to you some of the things maybe God has taught me. And it says in Psalms chapter 50, verse 10, "For every beast of the forest is mine, and the cattle upon a thousand hills. I know all the fowls of the mountains and the wild beasts, the field are mine. If I were hungry, I would not tell thee, for the world is mine and the fullness thereof." We realize that everything is God's. He created all things, and they're all His. You know, the gold in the hills are His. Amen? The money in your back pocket is His. Not 10%, but the 100%. You're privileged. You and I are privileged. He lets us keep 90%. Or, if you really love Him, maybe 80%. Amen? Or 75%. Because really, you do not show your love to God until you give more than the 10%. Amen? And I wasn't even going to talk about money on stewardship. But I'll just tell you this. If you love God, you're going to give. You're going to tithe and you're going to give offerings. You're going to show God you love Him. And then you're going to give of yourself. You're going to give of your time and your talents. For you are His. You know that? He owns everything. Amen? Stewardship. Stewardship is someone who is responsible for that which they do not own. So therefore, you are a steward. Everybody is a steward. For you and I really don't own anything. You know, when I moved to Oklahoma, I was privileged to be able to take care of my mom there for a few months before she passed away. Dad had already passed away. I am their only rotten child. So therefore, when they passed away, I inherited both homes and 90 acres. I live in a house that I did not build. I live in a house that I did not buy. That's grace. Amen? It is a privilege. I count it a privilege every day that I live in the house my grandpa built. And it brings back lots of memories. It is all of grace. When I walk around that farm, and I love to walk around that farm, the kids have I've got a couple four-wheelers for the grandkids, and we got a trail that goes around the complete fence line. And they can stay on the trail and not beat up my grass. Amen. But sometimes I walk on that trail. And I love to walk around that trail. When I walk around that trail, I realize I thank God. God, thank you for letting me have this. Thank you, Lord, for letting me walk here. Because I understand that this is all His, not mine. Amen. So where you live, you need to realize that that home, even though you may not even have it paid for, or you may have it paid for, it is the Lord's. You are just a steward. So a steward is someone who manages something that's not their own. They don't even own it. Amen? Whether it be a business, whether you own an entire business, or whether you work for somebody. Even if you work for somebody and you are put over a certain area, if it's a cashier in Walmart, you are responsible for that area. You're responsible for everything that goes through there. You are, in a sense, a steward to make sure that everything is tabulates right. Amen? So, I think we got it down. Everybody in here is a steward. Right? You're a steward of something. Amen? And so you are responsible. As parents, you are stewards of your children. They're not yours. You know, most of you know that I lost a daughter a year and a half ago. The Lord took her home. See, I realize that even though it hurts and it still hurts today, I realize that she was His in the first place. He had the right to take her when He saw please. Precious in the eyes of the Lord is the death of His saints, even though it hurts us so badly. He placed me as stewards over three children. I done the best I could. Now you know what happened. If you would, turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 4. Psalms 24 says, "The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, and the world and they that dwell therein." Amen? First Corinthians chapter 4. "Let a man so account of us as of the ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, is it required in a steward that a man be found faithful?" God requires that we be faithful in all that He has given to us. Every responsibility that He has given to us, everything that we own, that's in our possession, God requires that we be faithful. God also requires as Christians that we be faithful. You are stewards of the mysteries of God. And there's several things in the New Testament that are called mysteries. The gospel is a mystery. We are responsible as Christians, and I'm talking to you who are saved, to us who are saved, we are responsible to God for the distribution of the gospel of Jesus Christ, to make known the mysteries of God. How does a person get to heaven? Well, if you're saved, you should know. You ought to be able to tell somebody else how they can be saved. You ought to be able to show somebody how they can go to heaven. And if you can't, you can bring them to church. You can invite them to church. You can bring them to your pastor. You can bring them to your Sunday school teacher. You can do something to be a good steward of the mysteries of Christ. You are responsible. You know, the New Testament reveals a lot of the hidden secrets of the Old Testament, yet the Old Testament presents a lot of good examples and illustrations of the truths of the New Testament. I'd like for you to turn, if you will, to Genesis chapter 15. Genesis chapter 15. As I look out here, I see a fulfillment of what I'm really teaching. As you see this building fill up. You know, more people. That's what it's about. Bringing more people. More people being saved. That getting saved is not the end of it. We want people to be blessed. We want people to learn to be good stewards and learn how to receive the blessings of God. There's no better life than being a Christian. Do you agree with that? If you've been a Christian very long, you are to understand there's no better life than being a Christian. Everything is not perfect. Everything doesn't always go smooth. There's always bumps in the road. There's always problems. But if you look back, I'm sure Brother Henderson would agree with this. You don't like everything that comes. But you can look back over the 30 or 40 or 50 or 60 years. You look back over that time period and you see how God has brought you along and how God has blessed you, how God has taken care of you. And you look back and you have to say as a Christian how good it's been. Even though you don't know what might happen tomorrow. There may be something coming along, you say tomorrow, you say, woe is me. But when God, after God takes you through it, you'll say, thank God. We look in here in Genesis chapter 15, it says, after these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision, saying, fear not, Abram, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. And Abram said, Lord God, what wilt thou give me, seeing I go childless, and this steward of my house is this Eliezer of Damascus? And Abram said, Behold to me thou hast given no seed, and lo, one born in my house is my heir. And behold, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, this shall not be thine heir, this Eliezer, this steward, the one who takes care of all your possessions, your business manager. He will not be your heir, but he that come forth out of thine own bowels shall be thine heir. And he brought him forth abroad and said, look now toward the heaven and tell the stars if thou be able to number them. And he said unto him, so shall thy seed be, Abraham. As look at the stars. And we look at the stars on a dark night when you ain't got a whole lot of light around, and there's millions and millions and millions and millions of stars. And he says, Abraham, those that come forth from you will be as the stars. And Abraham, I'm sure, could not imagine. But verse 6 says, he believed in the Lord, and it was counted to him for righteousness. He believed. The Lord had told him that from his loins would come one that would come forth, that would be a blessing to the whole world. And he believed God. Do you believe God? Because I think he kind of makes the same promise to you and I as stewards of the mysteries of God. He further illustrates this as we look further over and we go over to chapter 24. And as you go along here, chapter 21, Isaac is born, that only son, that only begotten son, amen? That one who will be come from Abraham's loins, from whom the whole Jewish race will come, and also the Messiah, the one who Abraham believed in. But we get down to chapter 24, and we find that Isaac has grown, and Abraham is concerned about him receiving a wife. And it says here, and Abraham was old and well stricken in age, and the Lord had blessed Abraham in all things. And Abraham said unto his eldest servant of his house that ruled over all that he had. Who's that? That's the steward of his house. Amen? I believe it's Eliezer. Amen? I believe this is the steward of his house. And he gives him something to do. He gives him a job to do. A responsibility. Not just taking care of those valuables, the gold and the silver and the goats and the lambs and the camels and the cattle. He gives him something else to do. He gives him a greater responsibility than even that. See, God has given you homes and He's given you houses. He's given you a job. He's given you money. He's given you physical valuables. Amen. But He's also given us a greater responsibility than all that. Something that's even of greater value than all those things. He's made you and I stewards of the mysteries of God. You and I have something that is not, as Peter said, not silver and gold have I none, but such as I have I give unto thee. You and I are not going to take a thing. I love that farm. I love being on that farm. I bought a few cows and I messed with them. I'd never done that in my whole life because I was never around the farm. I lived off down here in Texas for 40 some odd years working in an oil field. But I'm not going to take that farm with me. One of these days this old heart will stop and I'll go to heaven. And I'm not going to take that farm with me. I'm not going to take what little I got in the bank account with me. Wouldn't do me any good anyway, amen? Neither are you. But there are some things you can take with you. If you handle the responsibility, if you're a good steward of the mysteries of God, He's going to send this Eleazar to find a bride for his son. And Isaac is a type of Christ. He is a type of Christ. No type in the Bible, no picture in the Bible is perfect. You know, it's kind of like my driver's license picture. Somehow they just never look as good as I do. They probably look just like I do. That's the problem. But anyway. But no type is perfect. And Isaac's not perfect. Christ is perfect. But He is a type. As the only begotten Son, as such, to bring forth the Messiah, from whom came from Abraham and who, Jacob and so on and so forth, and the heirs, the children of Israel. Now, look back here, and it says, and Abraham, verse 2 says, and Abraham said unto his eldest servant of his house that ruled over all that he had, put, I pray thee, thy hand under my thigh, and I will make thee swear by the Lord the God of heaven and the God of the earth, that thou shalt not take a wife unto my son of the daughters of the Canaanites among whom I dwell, but thou shalt go unto my country and to my kindred and take a wife unto my son Isaac. And so he gives him certain instructions and he tells this Eleazar to go back where he came from and to find a bride for his son. Now look down to about verse 10. It says, and the servant took 10 camels of the camels of his master and departed, for all the goods of his master were in his hand. And he arose and went to Mesopotamia under the city of Nahor. And he made his camels to kneel down without the city by a well of water at the time of the evening, even the time that women go out to draw water. And he said, O Lord, God of my master Abraham, I pray thee, send me good speed this day and show kindness unto my master Abraham. Behold, I stand here by the well of water, and the daughters of the men of the city come out to draw. And let it come to pass that the damsel to whom I shall say, let down thy pitcher, I pray thee, that I may drink, and she shall say, drink, and I will give thy camels drink also. Let the same be she that thou hast appointed for the servant of Isaac, and thereby shall I know that thou hast showed kindness unto my master. He is the steward. He has been sent to do something for his master. He's been sent to find a bride for the son. You and I have been left here. The Lord has saved you. You have become a believer, and you have become a part of the bride of Christ in a local church. Now God says to you, you must go out and find others. Amen. My bride is not complete. You are stewards of the mysteries of God, you and I. We have the good news, the glad tidings. Christ has come. The Messiah has come. The little boy, the little baby in a manger was born, and he grew up and he died on a cross. Amen. And he shed his blood for our sins. And there's only one way to heaven, not many roads, but there's only one road, and it's through Christ. All that believe on Him shall be saved. Do you believe that? Say amen. Amen. So you and I are mysteries. We are stewards of the mysteries of Christ. How long was it been since you prayed, God? You got up in the morning and said, God, lead me to someone today. Lead me to someone who is lost. Maybe at work. Maybe filling up your vehicle with gas. Shopping. At school. Or wherever you might be. Lord, this morning, this day, lead me to someone that's lost. Let me share with someone about Jesus Christ. Realize that you are a steward. Yes, you are to give. You cannot have the air conditioning. You cannot have the heating. You cannot add on to this building and make room for more people unless you give. It's up to you. God's going to give through you. That is important. But what's really important is the souls of men and women, boys and girls. Do you want them to have the everlasting life that you have? Do you want them to be blessed as you've been blessed? Do you want them to... And I don't believe in a prosperity gospel, but I tell you what, I look back and I see how God has prospered me. Can you say the same? Look at your life. All that you have, who did you receive it from? Ever how little or how much, you received it from the Lord. And that, you know, I'm pretty well fed. I was privileged to have a good Christian mom and dad. And my dad understood the same thing. He taught me that. God blessed him. From the moment he got saved, God blessed him. God took care of him. Back to money for just a moment. Let me say this. Before my daddy got saved, I didn't know it, but I understood it now. He was pretty good. He was a rounder. He was pretty wild. He drank things he shouldn't drink and went places he shouldn't went. But when he got saved, he was a roughneck. You know what that is? And I mean, he was a real roughneck. But when he got saved, he got saved.
Amen.
When he got saved, it changed. And he always told me, back to the money part, he told me I had no trouble tithing. Because I spent more on foolishness before I got saved.
Amen.
Amen. Than what it took to tithe after I got saved. And God blessed my daddy. And God will bless you. And those people who you share the gospel with, and those people who get saved, God will bless them too. He makes very few of us wealthy as Christians. I'm talking about money-wise. Because He knows just about how much we can stand. Amen? He's not going to give you more than what will hurt you. Too many wealthy people, after they get so much, they decide they don't need God anymore. Amen? Well, I'll tell you this, I need God. I need His wisdom. I need His help. And I need His blessings. How about you? We look here and I said, how long has it been since you prayed? God, lead me to someone who's lost. I, as a steward of the mysteries of God, Lord, this day lead me to someone that's lost. See, no more had this steward prayed than verse 15 it says, it came to pass before he had done speaking that behold, a Rebekah came out who was born to Bethuel, son of Milcah, the wife of Nahor, Abraham's brother, with her pitcher upon her shoulder. And the damsel was very fair to look upon, a virgin. Neither had any man known her. And she went down to the well and filled her pitcher and came up. And the servant ran to meet her and said, let me, I pray thee, drink a little water of the pitcher. Now, if you want to teach your children, your boys how to find a wife, I mean, this is a good way to teach them. Amen? You know, you tell your son, you find a woman who will, you know, who will obey their parents, who do what they, and respect their parents, and she will help mom, you know, wash the dishes and clean, do the clothes, and take care of things in the house, and water 10 camels, she'd be a good prospect for a wife. Amen? Don't you think, gentlemen? Amen. And it says here that the virgin neither had known a man, neither had any man known her, as she went down to the well and filled her pitcher and came up. And the servant ran down to meet her and said, "Let me, I pray thee, drink a little water of thy pitcher." And she said, "Drink, my Lord." And she hasted and let down her pitcher upon the hand, her hand, and gave him to drink. And when she had done giving him drink, she said, "I will draw water for thy camels also until they have done drinking." And she hasted and emptied her pitcher into the trough and ran again into the well to draw water and drew for all his camels. Now, she is a picture of the bride of Christ, and she's a very busy young lady, amen? She is not a lazy young lady. Does that say something about you and I, as members of the bride of Christ, of this local church, that we are not to be lazy? That we are to be about the Master's business? We are to be about our Messiah, our Christ, be about His business, taking care of what He's given us to do, to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, to share the mysteries of Christ, to be busy about our church, involved in our church, not just coming on Sunday morning and sitting in a pew, but getting involved in all the organization of the church and in the Sunday schools and in the whatever programs you have on Wednesday night and helping in the children's programs and the bus ministry and soul winning. And we ought to all be busy in these things. Where's the amen? Okay. Don't you believe that we should? You may not be, but shouldn't you? Because you are a steward. Every one of us are stewards of the mysteries of God. Every one of us is responsible for doing something with the gospel of Christ. Church never has enough workers. Ever. There's always a place for you to serve. He prayed, and guess what? God done it. Amen? Do you believe that maybe if we just pray a little more about God leading us to someone that is lost, or even someone who is saved that's maybe out of church and just hurting and looking for answers, that God would lead you to them to bring them to a good fundamental Baptist church where they can receive the fellowship, amen, and the encouragement they need. Well, if you look on down through here, and I'm trying not to read the whole chapter. she watered those camels and went to her brother and her dad and told him about this man, and he come out there, and they brought him in, and they made a place for his camels, and he told them who he was, and he says there, look at verse 26, "The man bowed down his head and worshiped the Lord." That's something we ought to be thankful for what God has done for us. We ought to be thankful for our salvation. We ought to be thankful for His leading through our life, His protection all of our life, and for His blessings. Verse 27 says, "And he said, Blessed be the Lord God of my master Abraham, who hath not left destitute my master of his mercy and his truth. I being in the way, the Lord led me to the house of my master's brethren. And that's what we all want as stewards. We want the Lord to lead us every day of our life. I need His leading. You know, I still work in the oil field, and the Lord has blessed me with such a good job, I can't hardly believe it. I now work 8 days on, 6 days off. It's like almost having a vacation every other week. I work 10-hour days, supposedly, but my boss has told me, you stay out there until you get everything done. If you ain't got nothing to do, go home. How does that sound to you? You just can't have it much better than that. But I got to take care of business. Sometimes I have to go back out there at 11 o'clock at night or to take care of some matter. It's an oil field station is what it is. Where they bring oil in, they ship oil out. You think God's blessed me? I know where it came from. Amen? I know exactly where it came from. We are stewards of the mysteries of God. He thanked the Lord for the leadership of the Lord. And he goes on, he tells Laban and the family who he is and where he's come from. And look at verse 36. In fact, I want to go back to verse 35. And the Lord hath blessed my master greatly, and he hath become great, and he hath given him flocks and herds and silver and gold and men servants and maid servants and camels and asses. And what did the verse say? Verse Psalm 24:1. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, and the world and all, and they that dwell therein. It's a picture of our Lord. It's a picture of God the Father, who owns all. But yet He's willing to share, amen? He's going to give it all to His Son. And you and I who are saved, we are heirs and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. All that is His is ours. What's more, all that you bring into the bride of Christ, all that you bring in, all that are getting saved, receive the Spirit of God, and come into the church, they also are heirs and joint heirs with Christ. Is there anything better that you could do than to bring someone to church or lead someone to Christ? See, this is where stewardship really begins. Verse 36 says, And Sarah, my master's wife, bare a son to my master. When she was old, and unto him hath he given all that he hath. And in verses 41, for several verses there, he rehearses the story again, how he asked the Lord to lead him, and that if a certain woman would come out and she would water his camels and take care of business, that she would be the one that led it. That God led him to. In other words, he rehearses the story again, the good news. Amen? That you and I are to rehearse that message over and over again. How did God save you? Well, this is how God saved me. Amen? This is how God saved me. This is how God forgave me. And this is how God has blessed me. This is how God has taken care of me. It didn't just start with me getting saved. Getting saved is just a starting point. Amen? Well, let me... More or less, he took Rebecca, and he took her back home. And verse 67 says, And Isaac brought her into his mother Sarah's tent and took Rebecca, and she became his wife, and he loved her, and Isaac was comforted after his mother's death. I got about 5 minutes, right? Go to Galatians. I really had a whole other page, but my son took up my time. I'll beat him later for that. But I don't beat him anymore physically. I used to be able to do that, but up to a few years ago, I could, but now I just take a big stick. And you think I'm kidding? No, I'm not. I still am able to beat up my grandchildren, though. That's one of my joys. So, we're one of those physical families. We're one of those families where my house, his house, we push back the furniture and it's just chaos. That's the way my daddy was. I'm sorry, that's just the way we grew up. Amen. A lot of fun. In Galatians chapter 3, and I had a whole deal here, but I want to kind of just go, I'm just going to go kind of to the end, okay? Galatians chapter 3 talks about Abraham, the promises made to Abraham. Like verse 6 says, even as Abraham believed God and it was counted to him for righteousness. What did God tell him? That from his seed would come, you know, from his loins would come a seed that would multiply and become as the stars of the sky. Is that right? And it talks about, like verse 11 says, but no man is justified by the law in the sight of God is evident, for the just shall live by faith. We're not saved by keeping the law, but we're saved by faith in Christ. Amen? Verse 13 says, Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. Look down to verse 16. Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He saith not, and to seeds as of many, but as of one, and to thy seed, which is Christ. Amen? If you bury that seed in the ground, and it comes up, and it dies, it comes up, it's going to bring forth a hundredfold and so on. Amen? It talks about the law. It says, let me go on down there. I'm trying to skip on down. Verse 21. Is the law then against the promises of God? God forbid. For if there had been a law given which could have given life, verily righteousness should have been by the law. But the Scripture has concluded, all under sin, that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. Now there's so many people out here believe they can work and make it to heaven, but they can't. Neither is there salvation in the other. It's by Christ. He is the seed. Verse 24 says, wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ that we might be justified by faith. But after that faith has come, we are no longer under a schoolmaster, for ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. For there is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither bond nor free, there is neither male nor female, for ye are all one in Christ. It's talking about you who are saved and those who you lead to Christ. Amen? It don't matter who, you know, how much money you have or don't have, or what race you are, what color you are, what nationality you are. Amen? Jew, Gentile. When you get saved, you're all one. Here's what I really want to get to. There is neither, look at verse 29. And if ye be Christ, then ye are what? Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Adopted through Christ. Amen? So you and I are a steward of the mysteries of God, that we might bring the promise of Abraham to Abraham about. You look out here today and you see this number of people. And yet all over this world there are millions and millions. And since Christ has been crucified, there's been perhaps about billions or billions. I don't know. But I know that what He promised Abraham has come true and is coming true and will come true, and you're a part of it. What kind of steward are you? Stewards of the mysteries of God. We have a great responsibility to share what God has given to us. Amen? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank You, dear God, for Your goodness. Thank You for Jesus Christ who kept the law for us. Jesus Christ who died on the cross for us and shed His blood for us. Jesus Christ who takes away our sin. Thank You, God, for eternal life. Thank You for the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now help us as stewards of the mysteries of Christ to be even as Eliezer and to pray, God, lead us to someone to share our faith with today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. You got about 10 minutes and we'll start the service. Appreciate my dad did a good job. Amen. Dad always does a good job. and I don't want to get beat when I get home.